Iran says the prosecution of those involved in the U.S. assassination of General Soleimani is a top priority in security cooperation between Tehran and Baghdad. Russian President Vladimir Putin makes a surprise visit to Mariupol, his first trip to the Ukrainian city since it was captured by Russia. French police clashed with protesters in Paris and Nantes amid anger over the government's decision to push through its pension reform bill. Good to have you with us. Iran says that the prosecution of those involved in the U.S. assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani is a top priority in the security cooperation between Tehran and Baghdad. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Ali Shamkhani, made the announcement in an official visit to Iraq. He said the passage of time should not reduce the significance of the assassination. He added that the U.S. continues to destabilize the region through mischievous acts that he described as something intolerable, which should be ended. For his part, Secretary of Iraq's National Security, Qasem al-Urouji, said that Baghdad is committed to a parliamentary legislation which calls for all foreign forces to be expelled. He added that major parts of the legislation have already been implemented. The Iran official is in Iraq for talks on bilateral security cooperation. The Iranian foreign minister says that he will soon meet with his Saudi counterpart as part of rapprochement between the two Persian Gulf neighbors. Speaking at a press conference, Hossein Amin Abdullahian said that Iran has proposed three locations for the meeting. Preparations are also continuing to reopen the two countries' embassies. Amin Abdullahian said that the normalization agreement with Saudi Arabia was signed in an effort to promote peace in the region, and it will benefit the entire Muslim world. The top diplomat also touched on the talks to revive the 2015 deal known as the JCPOA. He said that Tehran is pursuing an initiative to settle the remaining differences. Amir Abdullahian added that Iran and the UN Nuclear Agency have agreed on a roadmap to clear up what he called misunderstandings. He said that this deal can also have a positive impact on the JCPOA revival talks. Representatives from Arab parties from different countries have arrived in the Syrian capital, and they've met with President al-Assad and held an emergency meeting of the General Conference of Arab Parties. Our correspondent in Damascus has the details.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad received heads of Arab political parties who arrived in Damascus to hold an emergency meeting of the General Conference of Arab Parties. Assad said there is currently an opportunity for political parties to take action in resisting the siege imposed on the countries they represent, underlining the importance of dialogue in expanding the conference to include various political movements and forces. Head of the conference, Qasem Saleh, expressed solidarity with Syrians affected by the earthquakes. Members of the delegation called for ending the occupation of Syrian lands, lifting the U.S. economic siege, and activating joint Arab action.
We can relay to President Assad our stances and listen to his advices for activating joint Arab action and the role of youth. We are betting on the youth at this stage for finding creative solutions for political, economic, and social challenges.
Representatives of parties then held the 63rd emergency meeting of the General Conference of Arab Parties. They underlined the importance of respecting Syria's sovereignty and unity and rejected unilateral economic sanctions on Syria. They asserted that resistance blocked the implementation of a colonialist plot in the region that aimed at eliminating the Palestinian cause and defeating Syria.
We unconditionally stand with Syrian people, army, and leadership, which paid a heavy price to defend just Arab causes. Syria is the source of our history and civilizations. Arab states should return to Syria.
What happens in Syria affects Lebanon and vice versa. We entered into Syria at a particular time in support of its leadership, army, and people. We came to Syria to defend Lebanon. If Syria had collapsed, the whole region would have collapsed. Even Iran's support to Syria was aimed at defending Iran because Syria was the first defense line of all resistance forces in the region.
Participants rejected all forms of normalization with Israel. They welcomed the restoration of diplomatic relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia, underlining it would greatly contribute to solving regional problems.
The conference is being held at a time Syrians are extremely suffering from the repercussions of a foreign-backed conflict, unilateral sanctions, and most recently, the devastating earthquake. It's a wake-up call to the international community to take urgent actions and help resolve Syria's dilemmas. Hamad Ali, Damascus.
Speaking of Syria, a pro-Syria sit-in has been held in Rome and a number of capitals across the world as part of a campaign called End the Siege. The initiative was in solidarity with the Syrian people who have been suffering from sanctions imposed on their country by the West.
On Saturday, sit-ins were held in several countries across the world as part of a campaign aimed at denouncing the devastating effects of the sanctions imposed by the U.S. and the European Union on Syria. The initiative, named End the Siege, has been joined by organizations based in a dozen countries, including Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon, the U.K., Germany and Canada. Italy's sit-in was held in Rome in front of the Colosseum, where members of the No War Network and the U.S. Citizens for Peace and Justice denounced how U.S. and EU sanctions have devastated Syria's economy and led to immense human suffering.
Syria is greatly suffering the consequences of the criminal sanctions imposed by our governments, particularly after the earthquake that hit that country over a month ago. Frustration about being excluded from assistance is growing, and I believe it is a scandal that the EU can't act independently, but it has to always submit to the US diktat.
Demonstrators at the sit-in said that the US must leave Syria and stop profiting from Syrian oil and wheat that has exacerbated the poverty in the country. Italy and Syria once maintained a robust relationship, but in 2012, 1 year after the Syrian conflict, Rome joined its Western allies in closing its embassy in Damascus. 7 years later, in 2019, when Italy had an anti-establishment government under the leadership of the Five Star Movement and the Northern League, it appeared that Rome was mulling over normalizing relations with Damascus and reopening its embassy there. However, something went wrong.
It happened that the then government was under enormous pressure, particularly by the United States. Everybody knows that Italy is a country with limited sovereignty. Washington demanded Rome to stop liaising with Damascus the same way it has forced Italy to join the war in Ukraine. One third of Syria is today occupied by American soldiers, and the U.S.'s thefts of Syrian oil, natural gas, and other mineral resources have led to energy shortages.
We're here today to do, because this is the 20th anniversary of the invasion and occupation of Iraq by United States troops. They still have a NATO contingent. 1,000 Italian troops are leading the contingent to rob the oil from northeast Iraq, impoverish the Iraqis, and send the oil to Turkey, Israel, and clients of the United States.
The February 6th earthquake has further worsened the already deteriorating economy and humanitarian situation in Syria. According to UN sources, even before the earthquake tragedy, 70% of the population needed humanitarian assistance due to the war in the country and the US-EU sanctions. Max Civili, Rome.
Tens of thousands of people have hit the streets of Tel Aviv for the 11th consecutive week against the policies of the new far-right cabinet. Similar events took place in Haifa, Al-Quds, Beersheba, and hundreds of other towns and cities across the occupied territories. Protesters are angry at Prime Minister Netanyahu's proposed judicial reforms. If approved, the legislation would increase the cabinet's influence in choosing judges and limit the powers of the Supreme Court to overturn the cabinet's decisions. Critics argue that the legal changes would foster corruption and bring diplomatic isolation. The reforms are the cornerstone of Netanyahu's cabinet, an alliance of ultra-Orthodox and extreme right parties, which took office in late December. The Hamas deputy chief saying that the Palestinian resistance movement will file a lawsuit against Israel in the International Criminal Court. Musab al-Marzouk says that a regime must be held to account for war crimes against Palestinians. Abu Marzouk pointed to the four Israeli wars on the Gaza Strip and the desecrations of the Palestinian holy sites, the demolition of their homes, and confiscation of their lands. Those, he said, constitute war crimes that should be prosecuted. Marzouk was addressing a conference against corruption. The regime has recently intensified crackdown against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. The violence has left 89 Palestinians dead so far this year. The Russian president has made a surprise visit to Mariupol, his first trip to the Ukrainian city since it was captured after a lengthy siege at the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war. Vladimir Putin flew to Mariupol by helicopter and took a tour of the city. He visited several sites and spoke with the residents. His stop in Mariupol comes after a surprise visit to Crimea to mark the 9th anniversary of the peninsula's annexation. No, those trips were made after an arrest warrant was issued for Putin by the International Criminal Court over his country's alleged deportation of thousands of Ukrainian children. The Kremlin has dismissed as void the validity of the warrant. Now, political analyst Tim Kirby argues that the Russian president's unannounced visit to the captured Ukrainian city of Mariupol indicates his strength in the midst of the ongoing war with Ukraine.
Well, it's definitely a show of strength if you look at it from one standpoint, because it means he wasn't afraid to fly by helicopter somewhat on the edge of the war zone. Now, we have to remember that if we watch the news, I'm not a military expert, but I can tell you that Donetsk continues to get hit by the Ukrainians. Mariupol does not. So Mariupol seems to be either slightly outside their range or outside their scope of operations. And that's one of the reasons why the reconstruction works are taking place there so rapidly, because apparently they're not going to be knocked right back down again. So although it's a bit outside of the true danger zone, it is definitely a risky maneuver, especially if certain three-letter organizations from the West have good access to Russian information. So it's definitely a show that the president is not afraid to travel to the Donbass to get close to the war zone, even by helicopter. So we could interpret it that way.
Kosovo's blaming Serbia for the failure to sign a landmark EU broker deal to normalize relations.
The other side, just as in the last meeting in Brussels on 27th of February, is avoiding signing the agreement, now also with the annex. It is now up to the European Union to find the mechanism to make the status of this agreement legally and internationally binding.
Albin Kurti made the comments after a trilateral meeting with his Serbian counterpart and the EU foreign policy chief in North Macedonia. Serbian president also said that both sides have reached some sort of agreement, but the implementation plan would definitely have to be upgraded. The EU has described the negotiations as difficult. Last month, Kosovo and Serbia agreed to a deal to normalize relations following nearly 10 years of EU-mediated talks. French police have clashed with protesters for the third straight day as anger is mounting at President Macron's pension reforms. Rallies were held in several cities across the nation. Capital Paris, police banned protests outside Parliament after gatherings there the two previous nights led to clashes between demonstrators and security forces. On Thursday, Macron invoked a controversial executive power to force through a bill on the state pension age without a parliamentary vote. That also angered a political class, presented a 45-year-old leader with one of his biggest challenges less than a year into his second and final mandate. Opposition lawmakers have filed two motions of confidence in the government, which are to be debated in Parliament on Monday. John Ross, a senior fellow from Changjiang Institute at Renmin University of China, says that the French government prefers to use its money to support the war in Ukraine rather than deal with its internal problems.
At the present time, the French government is finding huge sums of money in orders given to Ukraine for weapons, but it wants to raise the retirement age in France. And also, I mean, that the they can post taxes on energy companies and other things. It's not, absolutely not justified. I mean, not to mention, of course, the way that's been rammed through without any vote in Parliament. So he's scarcely surprising that huge numbers of people are taken to the streets. French government, he is pressing ahead with it. I mean, because, well, for two reasons. One is because he can't be re-elected for a third term. Therefore, he doesn't really care what are the consequences of it from the point of his own personal popularity. And also because the French capital, French political establishment, has decided that at the present time they are not going to stand up to the types of problems which are existing in Europe at the present time. They're not going to try to seek an end to the war in Ukraine. They're not going to attempt to stop the US destabilizing the world economy through its inflationary stimulus packages. Instead, they're going to load this onto the population of France. I mean, it's the same type of thing, not only in France.
Now, with that, we come to the end of this news broadcast from Tehran. Thank you for joining us.
Nowruz is the message of peace and friendship by the Iranians for the whole world. Happy Nowruz!
In Nowruz, stay with IRIB English Radio to get familiar with Iranian traditions. Happy New Iranian Calendar Year. Happy Nowruz.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 19th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. And as you may know, we are just 2 days away from Nowruz, the start of the new Iranian year and the start of actually spring. Congratulations, everyone, on the occasion of Nowruz and the start of spring. Welcome back, everyone. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program, as we always say. It's your views that are important. And as usual, we've received reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world. For reception reports, we've received reception reports from Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Reginaldo Naldi from Brazil, and Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain. So, Mizanur Rahman, Reginaldo, and Juan Antonio, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us at IRIB English Radio because actually these reception reports enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service for our great listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. And let's go to see who has sent us emails from around the world. Ramin Aminizad from Iran has sent us a piece of email and a congratulation message. From Italy, we've received an email from Nico Genovese, one of our old and regular listeners. And from India, we have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. Again from India, we've received an email from Bithan Chandra Sanyal. We will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and most of our emails and letters we've received today are focused on Nowruz and your beautiful congratulation message. So Ramin Aminizad from Iran has sent us an email. Let's see what he says. Happy Nowruz to IRIB English Radio staff, to the Iranian listeners, as well as foreign listeners of your service who celebrate this occasion. I hope the world in the upcoming year will be full of peace and prosperity for all human beings. I would like to thank you, IRIB, very much for helping me to improve my yet broken English and your informative broadcast. Wish you all the best. So, first of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Ramin Aminizad from Iran, and thank you very much for sending this Nowruz congratulation message to IRIB English Radio staff, as well as the Iranian and foreign listeners of IRIB English Radio. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification, Ramin Aminizad. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. We also wish you all the best, Ramin Aminizad from Iran. We've received an email from Nico Genovese from Italy, one of our regular listeners. Nico says, "Dearest friends, I send you a sincere wish for a happy Iranian New Year. Although the Italian language program is no longer broadcast on the radio, I often listen to your programs in other languages. I also try to and monitor the signal level whenever possible. I have also sent some reception reports in the past. I will continue to follow you with esteem and interest. A warm greeting from Italy." Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Nico Genovese from Italy. Thank you very much for this email and for your Nowruz congratulation message. It was it's really good to hear that you often listen to IRIB English radio programs. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thanks for being a friend of us at IRIB English Radio, and be sure that we are also with you. Wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Nico Genovese from Italy. And from India, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Jayanta Chakrabarty. Jayanta Chakrabarty says, "Thank you, dear producer, for your kind message. Like previous years, I am preparing an audio recording along with text message of greetings on the happy occasion of Nowruz for IRIB English listeners. This colorful welcome to spring is celebrated by Indian Shia Muslims, Iranian communities residing in India, and by Parsis. Warm greetings. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, and appreciations to you for this beautiful congratulation message on Nowruz. We also wish you all the best. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification." We have another email from India, but this time from Bithan Chandra Sanyal. Bithan Chandra Sanyal says, "First of all, on the occasion of Nowruz, I would like to express my sincere love and best wishes to all the staff and listeners of IRIB, the state radio broadcasting organization of the Islamic Republic of Iran. May Nowruz bring welfare and prosperity to the entire world, including Iran. I pray to the most merciful creator. As I know, Nowruz is the Iranian New Year celebrated according to the Iranian solar calendar. This festival is the beginning of the Persian New Year. The word Nowruz means new day in Persian. May all the impurities, sadness, and disappointment of the old days be washed away from our lives, and may the life flow of creativity and innovation develop into a better, successful, and fruitful human life. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and from IRIB English Radio staff to you, Bithan Chandra Sanyal from India. Thank you very much for your beautiful and nice congratulation message for Nowruz, as well as your great and thoughtful prayer. We also wish you all the best and wish you all the good things in the world. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And all the views and opinions about IRIB English Radio programs are welcomed always. Bithan Chandra Sanyal from India, thank you again. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. And here we come to the end of our today's program. Many thanks for being with us. As I said earlier in the program, we are just 2 days away from Nowruz, the start of the Iranian New Year and the spring. Many thanks for your congratulation messages. Many thanks to Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain, Reginaldo Naldi from Brazil, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Ramin Aminizad from Iran, Nico Genovese from Italy, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, and Bithan Chandra Sanyal from India. Thank you for your reception reports, emails, and your congratulation messages. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. Goodbye and God bless you.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali baytihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human traits in the Quran that if we possess, it should make us better human beings. And therefore, we will observe the human rights that we have to give to other people. One of the verses in the Quran in chapter 16, verse 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wasbir, wama sabruka illa billah, wala tahzan alayhim, wala taku fi dhiqin mimma yamkurun. Allah is delivering a command to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which in return it is for me and you. He says, be patient, and your patience is not through, or it will not be without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is with you. And do not grieve over them. And do not be in distress over what they conspire. So clearly this verse is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and encouraging him to exercise patience in dealing with the opposition and rejection that he might face from people in Mecca. But that can be applied to me and you in every circumstance of life. It is not limited to a specific time, and that's the beauty of the Quran. It applies to all times. So it is reminding us that patience is only possible first and foremost with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That's set. The rest is up to you, you need to exercise. So it reminds us that patience is only possible with Allah's help, and that we should not grieve over the disbelievers or those, if we want to make it more applicable, those who cause us distress and or those who conspire us. So the verse emphasizes the importance of patience as a mean of coping with difficult situations and maintaining
and, you know, being steadfast in the face of calamities and adversities and problems. It shows us that patience is not a passive concept of circumstances, but rather an active commitment to enduring difficulties with fortitude and resilience. That's the actual meaning of patience. In a broader sense, this verse can also serve as a reminder to all believers that patience is a virtue that is necessary in the face of oppression, injustice, persecution, and what have you. So it encourages us to remain steadfast and not to break down, not to retaliate straight away, because sometimes patience is what is required. So patience allows us to tolerate differences and conflicts in society, which is crucial for the protection and the promotion of human rights. When we are patient, we can listen to the opinions and concerns of other people, even if we disagree with them. Not necessarily I have to agree with everything you have to say, or you agree with everything I have to say. But once you exercise patience, at least I and you give each other the opportunity to be heard. I hear you out, you hear me out. We can also work towards finding a common ground and reaching a resolution that benefits everyone involved. This is especially important when it comes to issues related to human rights, such as discrimination, inequality, and social justice, and everything in between. It's very crucial. Now, before I continue, let us take a short break, and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we were saying that patience is a virtue that we require. In the context of human rights, however, patience is also closely related to the concept of tolerance. We need to tolerate one another. Tolerance means accepting and respecting the beliefs, practices, and opinions of other people, even if they are difficult or different, or you know, might even seem crazy at times from our own. But tolerance is required. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when he talks to the Prophet, he says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and ends up with, لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, you have your faith, I have mine. That's tolerance. He didn't say, no, it is only my way or the highway. No, tolerance. So tolerance means accepting one another. So this is an essential tool that we require in order to live in a society and in order for us to uphold human rights for everyone, regardless of their race, religion, gender, or any other characteristics. What made the city of the Medina so special in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, because he and the believers during his time, they had tolerance towards other people. They were Christians, they were Jews, they were non-Muslims, they were atheists, but they coexisted. They respected each other's opinions, they respected each other's race, they respected each other's culture, and that's something that we should do. So patience is important for individuals who work towards promoting human rights. Activists, for example, lawyers, and other human rights, you know, let's call them defenders, often face opposition and resistance from those who do not share their views. But obviously, if you want to defend the human rights, make sure you're defending the correct one. because sometimes you might defend something that you think is a human rights, but in fact, the people that you're defending are troublemakers themselves. So you might have a different opinion with certain country, and you defend the people in that country who are going, for example, against the government or against something good, and you think they are good people, so you need to defend them. So you got to make sure, obviously, because this is a very thin line, you got to make sure that you look at things from the perspective of the people themselves and see where they're standing. So like I said, not necessarily we have to agree with everything, but we need to have a clear idea of what's going on, not to make judgment. So if we want to be champions of human rights and we want to be lawyers of human rights, we have to make sure that we're defending the actual concept of human rights when we see something really being violated, not just something that suits me or something that goes according to my desires. So you have to be very careful. In these situations, patience is necessary to preserve and continue advocating for human rights, even in the face of obstacles. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and the Ahlul Bayt, in the face of obstacles with their enemies, they did nothing but exercised patience. And no one understands patience as much as Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful. Look at his life and you will see. Inshallah, we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat Orbat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Shares of U.S. banks extended recent losses, with regional banks hit hardest. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. CNBC noted the dramatic drop in regional bank stocks is a key entry point for investors, according to analyst Christopher Marinac. Marinac, who serves as director of research at Janney Montgomery Scott, believes the group's decline over the past week provides an entry point for investors because underlying business fundamentals remain intact. Marinac told CNBC's Fast Money recently, "We have definitely slipped on a banana peel as it pertains to this deposit worry and scare." The SPDR and S&P Regional Banking ETF dropped by more than 12% recently after regulators shuttered Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. They were the second and third largest banks' failures, respectively, in the United States of America's history. He added, the main lending in America's are still mid-size and small community banks. Those companies are plays. According to Reuters, some U.S. regional banks are under pressure after the collapse of two lenders within days, with industry executives and advisors saying they could be forced to seek saviors if a rout in their stocks doesn't let up. Also, the New York Times wrote this headline, "Bank shares tumble in wake of failures," adding, "The stocks of regional banks fell following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank as regulators tried to contain the damage." RT also noted stocks of U.S. regional lenders continued to slide as First Republic Bank recorded a massive drop of 61.8%, forcing a brief halt in trading due to volatility. The San Francisco-based lender extended last week's loss of 33%. The country's banking sector has been buffeted by a series of collapses that began last week. PacWest Bancorp slid 45%, while Western Alliance Bancorp lost more than 47%. Zion Bank Corporation declined by about 26%, while KeyCorp shed some 27%. Major financial institutions were also under pressure, with trading halted repeatedly due to volatility throughout the day. Charles Schwab, which had already lost 20%, tumbled more than 11% recently. Bank of America finished 5.8% lower, and the SPDR, S&P Regional Banking Exchange Traded Fund, fell 12%. The turmoil among U.S. bank stocks stems from the collapse of Silicon Valley after customers demanded their deposits and the company's stock plummeted amid worries over the bank's financial health. The tech and startup-focused bank was shut down by regulators shortly after California-based crypto-focused Silvergate Bank announced its liquidation earlier last week. New York-based Signature Bank was shut down over the weekend due to concerns for the lender's liquidity. Recently, First Republic said it had received additional liquidity from the Federal Reserve and JP Morgan Chase. The lender added that the injection raised its unused liquidity to $70 billion before any funding it could get from the Fed. First Republic's capital and liquidity positions are very strong, and its capital remains well above the regulatory threshold for well-capitalized banks, founder Jim Herbert and CEO Mike Ruffler said in a statement seen by CNBC. Recently, the U.S. Federal Reserve announced a new bank term funding program that will offer loans for up to a year to shore up confidence in the banking system and protect depositors of failing banks. Under the new scheme, both insured and uninsured depositors of the collapsed banks will get full access to their money through a special fund of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. The regulator also eased the terms of banks' access to its discount window.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish. Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha. on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith. This hadith is about the love of children, the virtue of loving children. You know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is very famous that he was very kind to children. When he would pass children on the street, he would say salam to them, he would greet them, he would be even the first to greet them. And, you know, many hadiths have been narrated regarding, you know, children and why it's virtuous to love children. And, you know, this is very significant, especially when we take into consideration the environment in which the Prophet was designated and delegated as a prophet. You know, it's very famous that the people of the Arabian Peninsula, they were very, you know, hard-hearted, and you know, it's very famous that a lot of them would bury their children alive. And for whatever reason, there's a difference of opinion here regarding the cause of this. But in any case, this has been narrated. So in the context of the environment in which he was designated and delegated and was sent out as a prophet, you know, these hadiths which mention the love of children as a virtue, you know, it has even more significance and importance. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Love children and have mercy on them." And he also said the following: once a man, in the presence of the Prophet, he said, very proudly, you know, he said, "I have never kissed a child ever before." After this person left, the Prophet said the following: "To me, this man is one of the people of hell. هَذَا رَجُلٌ إِنْدِي أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ." This is definitely a person from amongst the people of hell. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Allah has mercy on a servant because of his strong love for his child." Right? Of course, we should of course add the reservation that, you know, the love that we have for our children, it should never supersede and overpass, you know, our love for Allah and religion. We should never overstep the bounds of religion because of our love for our children. And this is one of the things that has been reflected in hadith. In many hadiths, it's been mentioned that having a child is indeed a test and is a trial. It's a fitna. And the Holy Quran says, "Know that your possessions and your children are only a test, and that Allah with him is a great reward." And the Prophet said, "Our children are our hearts. The younger ones from among them are our kings, and the older ones are our enemies. When they are alive, they are a trouble for us, and when they die, they make us grieve." And Imam Ali said, "Do not let most of your preoccupation be with your family and children, for if your family and children are lovers of Allah, Allah does not forget his followers. And if they are the enemies of Allah, then what is your concern and preoccupation with the enemies of God?" Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at loving children in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma